What?
Blog Talk Radio.
Got him.
All right, girl. What up, world? Sorry, girl, for interrupting her thing. This is the Bloody Knuckle Show, BK Show 1 on Twitter, presented by Nobody Knuckle. Not Cage Fights, because they're whack. We're presented by, and Andrew, I'm going to get you on the movement, American Fighting System, a.k.a. the new movement. Enough of this saying that you are a Muay Thai fighter, something that was made in Thailand. You're a jiu-jitsu fighter, a Brazilian jiu-jitsu. You're something this, and that. Whatever happened to being an American? And this is what American Fighting System is about. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I am one of the creators of American Fighting System, getting it off the ground, but it is basically being an American fighter and being proud of it and basically mixing American boxing with true American wrestling and being the best mixed martial artist in the world and bringing the pride back to America. Americans should be traveling to the UK like Conor McGregor fans are traveling to America to watch our fighters. American pride, American Fighting System, for the website. They'll be on the line with me today for our year-end review special. I did a boxing one yesterday. I got cut off, but I will have another, of course I got cut off like always. So we'll have another special on boxing. So I've got my MMA expert again with me to do our MMA portion of the end of the year special. 2015, what a special year it has been, the year of the upset. It is the pride of Rochester, the man who once won the Quiz World Cup by getting the golden snatch and knocking her out by kicking her in her vagina. The man who now, I guess you can say, writes my paychecks because he works for paychecks. The man who trained Nate Diaz for his last fight. The man who told Brock Lesnar it was a good idea to fight Cain Velasquez. The man who don't give a fuck, slap your mama in the butt. The man who gave Chael Sonnen that stuff. It is Andrew the fucking Meredith. What's up, homie?
Yo, what it do? That was amazing. That was a great one. New world. Happy to be back again. Merry Christmas to all. I know we're not supposed to say that anymore. It's happy holidays. Screw that. I'm an American.
Any of your holiday. Yeah. American.
Yeah, I'm American, and, I'm a Christian, and it's Merry Christmas, just like Donald Trump says. If I win presidency, we're going back to saying Merry Christmas, because that's what's wrong with the world these days.
Is Donald Trump the Chael Sonnen of politics?
That is mind-blowing. He is. What a correlation. Donald Trump is the Chael Sonnen of politics. That is too funny. Hopefully you don't Steve Harvey any of our awards, but I got
yeah.
All right, real quick, bro. I know Miss Universe, they got their whole graying skills and whatnot. I thought Miss Columbia looked better. I thought Miss Columbia should have won.
Now, what did Steve say exactly again? Because I heard a little bit, but where did he go wrong? Like, he gave the wrong girl the crown?
Yeah, he read, it said the first runner-up is Miss Columbia and the winner's Miss Philippines. And he was like, the winner's Miss Columbia. And they all went crazy. They gave her the crown. They gave her a crown, like 30 seconds passed, and then then Steve came up there and was like, guys, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. The winner is Miss Philippines. I got to say this. Now, Ryan, smell a little conspiracy theory on this. This is the most talk Miss Universe has gotten since that Seinfeld episode. Was this a little sneak marketing move? I don't know. I'm just spitballing here because it's huge right now.
To think about, Steve Harvey, his whole life has been in front of a microphone, yeah, reading small notes probably as a comedian. He's acted, you know, like, you got to think, maybe he had some drinks in him. He's around all these good-looking women. He's trying to be smooth, and he just had the biggest fuck-up moment, like, trying to be so smooth, probably. But I could just imagine when you try to be...
How could you keep your mind around all those women? How could you do it? I don't know.
One of my biggest things is when you try to be too smooth is when you lose. But, you know, I've always been one of the people, you know, I stole it from Tyler Thompson, but I've always said, you know, I'm never the guy, you know, grabbing girls' butts in the bar. I like to sit back, let them come to me. If they don't, it doesn't happen. But that's, you know, sometimes being too smooth goes wrong and you miss on opportunities. But anyway, I'm saying this, so I could definitely buy into your conspiracy because, I mean, this universe blows up. Everyone pays attention to it all of a sudden. Maybe it was Miss Philippines' agent or Miss Colombia's agent giving Steve a little bit of money because now those girls are much more well-known and much bigger. And Miss Philippines, the rest of her career, I don't know if she has a career, but, you know, like, she's going to get a bunch of interviews. Oh, how did you feel when this happened? And she wouldn't have got that before. And maybe one of their agents slipped Steve a little bit of money. Hey, man, do a little slip on the microphone. I'm just saying, maybe it was the agents behind it. They got together. Hey, let's get both these ladies a little bit bigger. You never know. That Miss Universe, man, there's some grindy stuff going on there. Not like Miss... It's the hardcore world of Miss Universe pageants. No, it was definitely some funny stuff, and I could see maybe something happen. But, Andrew, let's get on to what we are here to do, MMA. Sometimes we like to kick back and have fun, relax. And this is one of our relaxed shows because the year-end review, the year is officially over for Mixed Martial Arts. Sorry, all you local shows that do not care about you. So, you know, if you have a show for the end of the year, screw you. I guess we do have Fedor fighting. Maybe we should touch on that real quick. It is on New Year's Eve, live on Spike TV. I'm not sure the time and everything, but he is fighting an opponent who is absolutely horrible. His name's like Jahip Jahar. He is the biggest opponent Fedor has ever fought, except Hong Man Choi, Cain Velasquez. He's really been in kickboxing most of his career. He's like 2-0 in MMA, but this guy originally got announced to fight Fedor a month ago, and everyone had such a big outcry that they canceled the fight and said they're going to get a new opponent. Now, two questions on this, Andrew, real quick, and we're going to move on. First off, don't you think they should give Fedor a little slack? Like, it's his comeback fight. It's, you know, New Year's Eve. He obviously needs a victory. He's old. Like, you know, they need to give him a little slack and have a good comeback opponent. And the second one is there was rumors that Randy Couture, it was very close to being made, Fedor versus Randy, and it might happen if Fedor wins this fight. Is that the fight you want to see, or is there another opponent out there that you're itching to see that you think they could have thrown in this fight or a future fight?
We can definitely get in the right now. I just want to see Fedor win. I'm not gonna lie. So I guess
see Fedor too. Like, kind of get you going, or is it kind of over as far as the Fedor train?
I'm always gonna tune in when Fedor watches if he makes a run. I'll support it, but I mean,
doesn't feel as real anymore, you know?
First of all, this is a fight. Why isn't this? I get the whole tradition and everything, but why is this fight not taking place on Saturday? It's on New Year's Eve or on New Year's Day?
New Year's Eve in Japan, so it's like, I don't know.
Who the hell is going to get to watch this fight in America? I mean, as sad as it is, the majority of people are going to have to work the next day. It's just disappointing. Why isn't this fight on Saturday? I mean, I don't know if it's – I don't want to be pessimistic. I don't really know if it's the fact that, you know, it's New Year's Eve in Japan. Like, it's like, all right, Fedor, one last fight. I mean, do you think – how shocked would you be if Fedor made a run? I mean, it's – I'm happy
with that. He's definitely trying to make it like a multiple fight comeback, but it's like – I don't know, maybe I have to see it to believe it, and then I'll really start to put my, you know, I need to see Fedor, like, oh, Fedor signs with Bellator, a three-fight contract, and then it's like, oh, I believe, and like, oh, I'm excited, they're going to get some named opponent to fight him, but if it's like him fighting in Rizin in Japan against some random guy, like, just like at the end of his career when he fought in Moscow and he fought Jeff Monson and Pedro Hizo, they were way over the hill. Like, no one cared about those fights. Fedor got three last victories in Russia before he retired. He looked good in those fights, but it's like, I don't know. Maybe it's because we're Americans and we want to see it in America, you know what I'm saying? So maybe that's it, but I think it's the show that makes me less excited, but we do have, like, King Mo on the card, a lot of crazy fights, like Bob Sapp versus Akabon, the big sumo wrestler. It's just a crazy Japanese card. But do you want to see Fedor or Randy still, even though Randy's pretty much in a wheelchair, or would you rather see Fedor or somebody else?
In the day where we saw Kimbo Shamrock and how excited I got for that, you don't think you get excited for a little Fedor Randy? Have it on a Thursday. I think that's why this card is on Thursday, Ryan. It dawned upon me. It's a throwback Thursday event. That's how big social media has gotten. I'd love to see that TBT card, bro.
Yes, sir. And I got to say, you know, everyone keeps complaining about Spike, and you know, we're going to talk about it in our, you know, our MMA review. The first thing I would say about it is, you know, Spike knows what they're doing. Spike MMA, I call it, Bellator, Scott Coker knows, you know, they do have talent in that promotion, like Ill Will Brooks. I mean, I've looked at their weight classes, very deep. They have good champions. Now they're all of a sudden becoming a player to all these free agents. You know, more and more people over him as a free agent after his big victory. And they have options now because they see Bellator, you know, is going to Italy this year, London. They're getting bigger. Scott knows what he's doing. You know, he's having these fights because he's getting eyes on the promotion. And I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but if you complain about Kimbo fighting Ken or anybody, I'm not that kind of guy because I like seeing the legends fight. I want to see Ken Shamrock and Royce Gracie get in there again and fight. I'm sorry. That's too funny. It's too weird of a matchup for me not to want to see. And I would love to see Ken Shamrock fight Tank Abbott, a fight that should have happened. It's like Scott Coker has given us all the fights we wanted to see at one point and we never got to see. He's bringing back one-night tournaments. He's bringing back Dynamite, kickboxing, and MMA cards. I think Scott Coker's doing something. You got to be different from UFC to make it as the number two promotion, and I think he's doing a beautiful job. I just had to get that in. But in our year-end review, Andrew, let's start it off. Just to start things off, what did you think about this year in MMA? Did you think it was a bigger year for the UFC, definitely, you know, an improvement from 2014. Do you think the UFC is in a better place than it was in 2014?
I'm going to call it a wash. I feel like their two stars, their biggest stars, have more power. But all in all, maybe the overall level has died down a little bit. I know I'm kind of sound like, but, you know, if you think of everything that happened with Ronda, but then she loses, the suspensions with Jon Jones, he's in unknown territory. But they do have Conor McGregor, and we have not seen Conor McGregor. You have to think. I'm right now, Ryan, I don't care. I have Conor McGregor as a Bruce Lee, Anderson Silva type of stuff. And mixed martial arts was not as big as it is right now. And I believe that Conor McGregor is going to go on an Anderson-type run and do what Anderson did. And if he's able to do that in this day and age with the notoriety, so Conor McGregor is that wild card. And I hate to admit it, but I feel like the entire if Conor McGregor got huge and he keeps knocking people out as he does, the sky limit's over. You know, I hate to say it, it's a point, it's a bland analysis and whatnot, you might say, but I'm a believer. That's what I say. I firmly believe in McGregor, what he's done. But it's been a down. I'm a believer. McGregor. I can't think of an acronym for it. But I got McGregor fever.
I can't do one either. It's too hard. But yeah, just to throw in my answer to the question, like, the UFC, you know, they still kept up with their shitty cards that no one cared about. And it was definitely a year of kind of change for the UFC, not only with champions and who they have to concentrate on promoting, you know, so many upsets and stuff like that. But also it seems like the UFC doesn't, like, if Dana White and them are selling the Fox, then they're kind of making it obvious, because all of a sudden Fox cards are becoming absolutely stacked. And then, you know, we have the pay-per-views that, you know, the UFC are trying to cash in on a few names and then kind of not caring about a lot of pay-per-views. And I think it's obvious by the divisions right now. And if you look at the UFC and say, oh, where is the UFC at right now? I mean, look at the 205 division. You know, John Jones obviously is going to come back and fight Daniel Cormier. But who is the UFC pushing and trying to make the next star? Like, that division is so empty and hollow. That was one of the best divisions at one time. Even in boxing, cruiserweight, 200 pounds, is always stacked. Like, 200 pounds is a weight limit where you can always find some badass motherfuckers to go out there and fight. And, like, the UFC didn't try to sign Liam McGarry from Bellator and steal him. Like, that's what old Dana White would have done. All of a sudden, the UFC is just, they're cool with having a couple good fighters in each weight class and really having bums. Like, heavyweight, you have four guys and they're all old, like Overeem, you know, Arlovski. How long are these guys going to last? Like, the lasting power there is not there for the divisions. It's really just the top guys. And then you, even in the lighter, like, who are they promoting to fight Mighty Mouse? Like, it's really like trying to do like another year and then cash out. I feel like it's definitely
Ryan,
a point where I see the UFC is trying to sell the Fox.
You want to hear a fun quote? I don't know why I just felt like, you know, saying this about their couple of fighters selling the Fox. So, no one of notoriety besides Ronda, because all of her endorsements and side deals, you know, really complain about fighter pay. They had to go all the way, of all the champs, besides Ronda. There's only one who's ever said, it's recently, Yona Yurtsevich, I can't say her last name, but, you know, she's a badass, 115 woman champ, came out and said, no, the UFC pays us great. Of all the fighters to finally, like, did you imagine, like, the checklist they go through at everyone to settle on Yona? And then for them to come out and say it like it was some big PR move, it's just...
Oh, wow. Because she's from, like, a hut in some random country.
They gave her $27. I love you, dude.
Of course, she's going to think it's great. The bitch has been... Sorry for using that word, but she's been in front of, like, five people in a random gym fighting for her whole career. Of course she's going to think the UFC is great. Like, to tell people where the UFC is financially, you got to, like, and I love that quote you just threw out there, like, you got to think, like, they just let Sterling and Benson Henderson, you know, Benson, I could see, like, he's still a good fighter, but they're not going out of their way these days, and they used to keep guys like Benson Henderson or also, you know, Sterling, who is a huge prospect at 135, or I believe it's 135, a guy who can definitely eventually fight for the belt. They're kind of just letting him walk into free agency, and Overeem, we'll see what's going to happen with him. He's supposed to be the number one contender, but the UFC is just not overspending on people. Do you think that UFC completely, you know, just, you know, is it officially they fucked up on this Reebok deal? Like, do you think that this is a complete failure or it needs more time? Because right now, fighters absolutely are trying to leave the UFC because they hate this Reebok deal.
Yeah, it is hilarious. But Ryan, I don't know, keep it moving along because me and my friend who like to caught up in the moment were very passionate about this topic. But all I have to say is, RDA, what do you have to say about this guy? Because you saw it in Cerrone's face when he was getting popped. He looked like a guy who did not want to be in there. He was getting hit way too hard. What are your thoughts on this?
Totally forgot about UFC on Fox card. I got into the year review. So, sidebar, ladies and gentlemen, let's talk UFC on Fox real quick. First off, what I got to see of it, decent card. As all UFCs that seem to be on Fox, you know, they have their good moments, and usually, like, they fuck up and the title fight ends up either being boring or really quick. And I don't know what it is, like a UFC on Fox curse or something. But this guy, RDA, all I got to say is Conor McGregor, please don't go up and fight this guy because you're so good. And this guy is just too big and too, you know what, I'm going to sum it up on one word, Andrew, steroids.
Yeah.
On steroids, absolutely. You know, and I got to put this out there because Joe Rogan put it out there, and I'm better than Joe Rogan, so I'm going to put it out there. He said Jose Aldo was off the steroids in this fight, finally. For those people who don't know, because there's a lot of uneducated fans, Jose Aldo's people, this is pretty funny, but there's some shady motherfuckers, but the new testing system the UFC has, which is making a lot of guys, like, run, because it's a year-round testing, showed up at Jose Aldo's camp, and Jose Aldo's people called the police on him and tried to get him deported from the country. And then the second time Jose Aldo went to take a drug test, he tripped and spilled his pee and claimed that it would hurt his training to have to urinate at that time and that he would send in a sample a week later. You can't tell me that man was not on steroids and realized, damn, I can't get away with it anymore. I got to cycle off. And then he comes to the fight and was clearly not as ripped and smaller. And now I'm looking at RDA, and this is a man that just found the right combination of stuff or the right way to cheat. I'm sorry. I hate to, like, say that about his victory, but he made Anthony Pettis look like nothing when they fought. And, I mean, this guy was good at one point, but he was never... Well, that's just... Anyway, gentlemen, I just dropped my cigar down my balcony. But...
Oh, no.
God damn it. It's so sad. But, let me continue. You know, RDA, I think, just... He got to a level, it's, you know, you see this in athletes, they just, all of a sudden out of nowhere, they just get so great. And yes, he is the scariest guy at 155, other than that other guy who never fights, I don't even want to say his name anymore, Khalidov. But, you know, Cerrone, I feel bad for the guy, he said he was doing it for his dying grandma. And at the same time, it might have seen the death of Donald Cerrone, Andrew.
Yo, if that fight would have if that was a street fight, I'm sorry, he would have died.
Yeah, like, what happened to Donald?
He got hit too hard. Did you hear how Crystal's punch really? He got hit way too hard. At one point, even there was comment on Fox. I remember DC was like, you know, you could just kind of see it in his face. You realize this is not the same guy I fought before. In RDA, he knocked out Benson, who's fighting at welterweight. He beat down Diaz. He beat Cerrone. Then he demolished had his aunt throwing the second time. It's crazy.
Diaz is tough for the way he's stuck in there. And Diaz didn't even try to call out the champion much because he knows RDA would whip his ass. Like, people aren't even trying to call out RDA at this point because it's like, nah, this motherfucker is too tough. He's too, like, when nobody has ever done that to Donald Cerrone. You can, I don't think he's, I'm not going to say he can't come back, but if there's ever a time for Donald to cut the 145, I'm sorry, make that Donald-Conor McGregor fight after Donald gets victory at 145. He said at one point in his career he was going to cut down if his body can do it. All right. What do you think's next for Donald Cerrone?
Some time off, man. Like, I hate to say it, spend some time with your grandma. You know,
TNA though, like, isn't he better as a guy who just fights five times a year and not a title fight kind of guy? You know, like, maybe the time off is what hurt him.
I don't know. I take it because remember in his last fight, the first time out when he was burnt up, I really don't know what to say this because what you look at Donald. And will he be able, he needs to make the cut to 145, like you're saying, because a rematch with RDA, he got beat twice. He just got knocked out in a minute on Fox. I don't know what's next for Donald. A long look in the mirror, and then get back when you're ready. Enjoy the holidays and whatnot. But, I mean, there was such a bad beating. There was no complaint to the ref. There was... Donald was just like,
that was brother or something. Like, he got mistreated. Like, if that was in jail, that's a rape. Like,
yeah.
Donald got, I know that it's not good to use that word. You know what? We're Americans. We can use whatever. That's our new thing. We're Americans. We're going to use whatever we want to use. So, sorry if you're sensitive to it, but Donald got raped in the Octagon. He became RDA's bitch. And when you become someone's bitch, we saw Jose Aldo become Conor McGregor's bitch. All the shit, like, Weidman became, not even as much, but what do you think was a bigger merc? Now, we saw two of them. Obviously, RDA, you know, had a little more time to show the merking, but Conor, like, what's more upsetting to the person that it happened to? Conor knocking Aldo out with one punch or RDA? Like, what's more impressive? Which one do you think was the more impressive performance?
I mean, impressive. I got to say Conor. I just one punch, that was just so impressive what he did to Aldo. But I will say this. Conor, the way Conor beat Aldo, you're always going to have those doubters. Well, you know, if he didn't get caught right, we want to see the rematch, you know. There's none of that talk. With what RDA did to Cerrone.
I haven't heard a peep from Aldo fans. Chris Nimmer, talking to you. Like, I haven't heard one peep. And the people who did say lucky punch, it's like, okay, so the guy didn't get a lucky punch landed on him for 10 years, and then all of a sudden Conor McGregor's the guy who throws a lucky punch. Like, that's just pure hating at that point. It's no longer like, it was first, you know, you can't beat a wrestler, you can't do this, you can't do... Now if it's, he got a lucky punch. That's pure hating. And you need to stop being haters, be lovers. That's what we say in the Blaine Knuckle Show. But finishing off on the lightweight title fight, as far as, you know, where the division is at, it's weird because lightweight, I feel like everyone has fought everyone. And this comes back to what I've been talking about in the beginning of the show. Like, UFC is not pushing guys like they used to.
Everyone fought everyone, I feel like, except, you know, we got Aldo McGregor. I mean, we got McGregor.
They need new blood. Where is the new blood? Where is the new hot prospects of the year? Like, that's what I can see.
Northcutt, baby.
Yeah, let's see Northcutt RDA.
the Power Rangers. Say, I'm telling you, dude, Sage, a little backstory on Sage Northcutt. His dad was a bodybuilder who got busted for steroids. So Sage is insanely ripped. He has been since he's a kid. He's been a little prodigy.
Yeah. Wasn't he Little Hercules? Like, with the long hair, and he was like a 6-year-old bodybuilder. I remember I saw a documentary on him when he was 6 years old. And about how his dad made milkshakes for him. Ladies and gentlemen, come on. We all know what he was putting in those milkshakes. Sage Northcutt is I hate to get on the race card. I'm being kind of controversial tonight, Andrew. But we all know certain races have the genetics where they're a little more ripped. They're a little more, you know, it's just natural. Us white boys, it sounds bad, but certain, you know, I wouldn't say we have to work harder or anything, but sometimes you have to have the genetics. And I saw Sage's parents, and, you know, his dad was a bodybuilder and everything. But I'm sorry, that kid wasn't born to be that ripped. I mean, he obviously put the work in, but he took something along the line. And it seems like that's another thing we could say about the UFC. And I've heard enough podcasts and enough insiders to know that a lot of guys are on steroids. And it's become a big problem now in MMA, and that's why they're doing year-end. But Sage Northcutt, that guy is almost, the story's almost written, Andrew. We know that this guy's going to get brutalized at some point in his career. I hate the way he talks, man. I hate his post fights. Like, I've never seen someone talk such, like, pussy in MMA. You know, I really want to see Nate Diaz versus Sage Northcutt. Just for the build-up, man. It's like Tim Tebow fighting Nate Diaz. Like, Sage Northcutt, oh, my God, dude. Anyway.
I just let you know, when I reference Sage Northcutt, I'm kind of being ironic, and I'm kind of poking fun at it, but he's got a little bit of talent. He's kind of like GSP.
Oh.
No one really likes him, but, you know, he's got the talent.
He's very talented. I don't think he's ever going to...
GSP is the head. I compared him with GSP as in the personality department.
Even weirder, like, this kid's like,
I love you, Joe Rogan, and I want to praise Jesus, and I want to get, like,
he talks like a, and that's a sign of steroids, talking like a girl. He talks like a girl. Look at UFC Embedded for the fight night, which is worth it because you get to watch Paige Van Zandt train, so, I mean, right there, it's worth watching the video. But there's, like, four of them, and that's how the kid talks. He's like, I love the world, I love rainbows, and I love training, and it's like, dude, you're in MMA, man, stop being so fucking happy all the time. I don't know, that's what rubs me the wrong way about Sage Northcutt, but he's definitely on Story of the Year. Let's stop talking about him. But, yeah, he's going to be a talent, but I don't know why they're paying this kid so much. Andrew, we got to talk about two of our idols, Nate being one of them because he's Nick's brother, and Overeem, real quick, Thareem finally did it, a fight we've been
asking
for. Seems like 10 years now this fight's been in the making. Watching the fight, I did not think it was going to happen. Junior Dos Santos was just charging like a bull. And you got to say, you know, no one has really finished Junior that, you know, Kane gave him decisive beatdowns and stuff like that. But Overeem got him.
Can Junior still do basic math?
What'd you say?
Can Junior still do basic math? Like, remember that times table test you had to take in, like, under 2 minutes and, like,
I don't think Junior can take anymore. I think Junior is officially retarded. Like, why is this guy fighting this? Does he not have, like, can the UFC not tell, like, this guy, like, let me show you a video of Muhammad Ali. You want to be Muhammad Ali? Like, Junior's been in way too many wars, and as many fighters that we know that have gotten knocked out so many times, it's different with Junior because it's just so many wars and such beatings. And now to get knocked out by Overeem by, like, a punch that wasn't even that hard, you know he's on, like, that Wanderlei Silva, Crow Cop, like, my chin is officially done. I've been in way too many wars. This guy, his face has changed, like, but he's still going out there and fighting like the old Junior Dos Santos. And you got to give Overeem credit because he's not fighting like the old Overeem. He's moving He's not going in there and trying to exchange leather with, like, Overeem looked completely scared this whole fight. Am I wrong?
No, not at all.
Do you think it's Overeem? Do you think Greg, I don't know if he still is with Greg Jackson or not, but do you like this new Overeem? Do you think, you know, he did, do you think that basically he has a chance if he does fight Word Doom, like, or, you know, he is on a win streak and everything, but it's not like the Ream, like, you know, when he was taking steroids and he was killing everyone in Strikeforce. It's kind of a different finesse Overeem. I really think if he cut back down to 205, I know he's huge, but I don't know. I don't know what to say about Overeem. I gotta say woo for his win, but I don't know how long it's gonna last.
I will say this for Overeem, you know, if it's Greg Jackson, I guess is pretty smart with his size and strength and still just his brute strength, you can just say, because I mean, yeah, he knocked out JDS with a punch that didn't look that hard, but I mean, it was Overeem throwing it. I mean, the guy is built like a Greek guy. He looks like, you know, Hercules or whatever, Leonidas reincarnated, but the guy's just a fucking monster. If he catches you clean, going in against Kane or Verdum, do I think he'll win? I don't know if I'm going that far, but this camp has been great for him. However, if he fights a Kane or Verdum, you know, he's got a chance, you know, one-shot knockout. And if we do get to see a Verdum Overeem matchup, it will bring a little bit of satisfaction to that old Strikeforce tournament back in the day, that old Daniel Cormier won. Overeem beat him, but there was a lot of the fight was, you know, Verdum kind of turned the page. I remember a lot of people complained about it because, I don't remember, did Verdum keep trying to lay down?
Yeah, he kept getting in that turtle position, trying to get Verdum or Overeem to go to the ground. Ended up being a decision. Overeem kind of just stood over him and kicked him all the time. And it was when Verdum actually, right after he submitted Fedor. And Verdum, I mean, going into his guard, I mean, we all know it's the most dangerous thing you can do. And now Verdum, like, and I think you got to say, Verdum definitely is licking his chops. He wants Overeem bad, probably, for that rematch. And I think that's definitely the fight to make at heavyweight. And you got to say, lightweight, I was touching on it. What do you think the fight is to make there, if that's correct English, which it wasn't? And who do you want to see Cerrone and Junior Dos Santos fight next? I got a couple of guys for each. I don't know if you want to throw a name out there.
For JDS, oh, man, God. You know, if we could say maybe fight a guy like, you know, I hate to say it, but we're seeing his career. But, you know, I'd like to see him fight Papa Brown, you know, Tim Brown, just for the sake that, you know, two guys going at it. Or maybe who is the guy who beat Matt Mitrione even, or who is the guy who just beat...
Matt Mitrione got cut, which is funny, but go on.
Wait, Matt Mitrione finally got cut?
Yeah. We'll see him in
Dallas. Can't say that name anymore. That was usually one of my go-to heavy names. Throw Matt Mitrione in there. Who is the guy who Rothwell, or maybe give it Ben Rothwell, you know, who knows? But
yeah, Rothwell's I don't know, that might be the end of JDS. Rothwell's been knocking a lot of people out. He might come in like a Brahma, you know, Brahma Bull, and one of those guys are gonna get knocked out. I like that fight a lot. I'm gonna go ahead, I'm sorry. What about Cerrone?
Maybe let him fight Pettis again. You know what I mean? They're both. Because what do you do with a guy like Cerrone if he's dead? And what do you do with Pettis? You know, two guys who just got destroyed in RDA. I really don't know what you do with that weight class, except maybe Benson coming back down and fighting RDA one last time and show Benson some money. Dana.
I got to say that I am begging for it. I'm writing the UFC. Dana White's probably listening, so I'm going to tell him right now, make Anthony Pettis versus Nate Diaz. I know Anthony Pettis lost, but if he beats what's his name from Bellator, Eddie, you know, they're fighting. If he wins that fight, make Nate Diaz versus Pettis, the winner is going to be on a big win streak. And these camps have beef. The Diaz brothers already tried to fight the Pettis brothers. They hate each other. It'd be a great build-up. And also, Nate said it. He's only trying to fight guys that want to fight. And you got to think, Pettis isn't going to run around. He is going to come out there and strike with Nate Diaz. As far as Cerrone, like I said, I want to see him cut to 145. And he's coming off a loss, so maybe Chad Mendez, two guys that are going to go at it. True test for Cerrone, and then right after that, if he beats Mendez, give him the Conor McGregor's title shot. You know, that's really what everyone wants to see, Cerrone, McGregor, and just that build-up. I got to say, for Junior Dos Santos, you know, me and you both have, like, our names we always throw out, like you were saying. But I'm not going to go with, like, a regular one. I always say Mark Hunt. Here to beat Mark Hunt. I was going to say Josh Barnett, but it's like, you know, Barnett's just going to be diving in. I'm going to say, no, brain cell-wise, but if Stipe loses to Andre Arlovsky, which I don't see happening, I would love to see that rematch. Or I would love to see if Andre Arlovsky loses, which I think he finally will, maybe Arlovsky-JDS. But I love the idea of Travis Brown versus Junior, because like you said, both guys are going to come out and absolutely strike. And that's all I really want to see is someone get knocked out. And I think Travis Brown just has that chin to get knocked out. As far as Nate Diaz, Andrew, we saw him come back in a big way. And no one expected he's been getting his ass whipped, but he looked like he's back. He's in a good place. Nate Diaz, Johnson. Johnson really played in the Nate Diaz's game as guys who want to come out and fight when he probably didn't have to. And I don't think Nate Diaz is going to get that treatment from everybody, but hopefully, you know, he said he's only going to take fights with guys who want to fight. Really, I think this is the countdown on Nate's career. Calling out Conor McGregor, though, I mean, do you think this is just the start of it? I mean, would you want to see that fight? Does it make any sense? And do you think Nate is actually in, you know, a title contention, or is this kind of just the Nate Diaz show where he's going to get thrown and against random guys for a couple years? Like, do you think he's actually a serious contender?